Welcome to Bible Theory Podcast, hosted by the Chicano Knox. Finally, a podcast about the church, for the church. Bible Theory is for the streets, homie. This ain't your Boy Scout, choir boy type of podcast. This is for the vato locos who have been saved by the blood of Christ, homie. Coming straight out of Geneva. ¿Dónde están mis soldados reformados? Bienvenido a la Teoría de la Biblia Podcast con el Chicano Knox. You are now entering into the reform state of mind, homie. Where we study ecclesiology and take it to the streets, homie. Coming from that five solas. Coming from that reformed underground railroad, homie. Coming from that West 1646, sese.
Hey there, what's going on? Thank you so much for joining Bible Theory once again, season four, where we study ecclesiology. You know, my podcast is all about the church, you know, the doctrine of the church, ecclesiology and all that. Well, season four, you know, we're going to be looking into missions, missionology, and like a little bit of study of missions and the Great Commission, or they say the Missio Dei. And today we're going to be looking at China, because I definitely want to talk about Asia and how Christ advanced the church in Asia, mission history and stuff like that. But we're going to be taking a specific look at China. There's a lot to be talked about in regards to China, a lot of missionary history with Hudson Taylor and stuff like that. We're not going to be touching about, you know, Hudson Taylor too much today. But we are going to be talking about what's going on in China a little bit today. So thank you for tuning in. I can't wait for this conversation to happen. If you have not, please like the button below. Hit the bell notification to stay alerted as the season progresses. Once again, this is the Chicano Knox coming live and direct from the Reform Underground Studio. So thank you so much for joining us. I do have listeners down in Taiwan talking about China. So I looked up my analytics, and it looks like I got several, I don't know how many hundreds of people out there in Taiwan listening to me on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. So I really want to give out shouts out to everybody listening in Taiwan. Thank you so much. Well, without further ado, I have a special guest with me today. I have Kay Rubicek. Kay, can you introduce yourself? Let us know who you are, what you do, and a little bit about yourself, so people out there listening, maybe they don't know you, maybe they could get to know you just a little bit.
Sure, thank you so much for having me on. I'm a filmmaker, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, I'm an educator. I've been in video production for almost 25 years. My accent, you can maybe be able to guess, I'm from originally Australia, and that's where I was born and raised. But my family has a history with escaping tyranny and communist regimes in different countries, because of their faith, and so that's something that a lot of my work is about now, because I feel it's important that we remember history so that we can learn and help us understand what we're dealing with today. And just a bit about my family, because that shapes so much of what I do, and I know, you know, the family is just such an important unit. We know that's really key to, you know, solving a lot of problems, having strong families and faith. So, you know, my family actually escaped communism three times, over three generations, three countries. First in Russia, when the Soviets came in the 1920s, and anyone who wanted to practice their religion, it was just being wiped out. And unless you compromised, for money and things, but you were just compromising on your faith. And my family wasn't willing to do that. They escaped. They had a very dangerous escape to go to another country, which happened to be China. That was before the Chinese Communist Party came in. And at that time, faith was, freely practiced in China. There was a lot of faith going on, but then once the Chinese Communist Party came in, it started to wipe that out, and my family had to escape again. My father was 14 years old, and they were very lucky that a church in Hong Kong actually helped them to escape and find freedom in Australia, where I was born and raised, and Then my husband's family, you know, I met him in Australia, but he escaped former Czechoslovakia in Europe under communism as well. Not for faith, you know, they're a different kind of scenario there, but essentially they had to survive, and so they escaped. And so, you know, I see what's going on to destruction, you know, people trying to target and bring down faith and religion, and I'm like, this is, I know where that's coming from. So, you know, that's part of why I do a lot of my work. Yeah, that's a bit about me.
Wow. Three communist countries. Not one, not two, but three. Wow. God's providence was all over that one right there. You know what I mean? It's not very often it's not very often someone escapes a tyrant, you know, three times. You know what I mean? So, you know, the land down under, that's, you know, the land of rugby, Queensland, Cindy and Nemo and Wolverine and Thor, you got everything down there.
Oh yeah, we sure know, do.
The crazy images in Australia came out to me recently during COVID. You know, the lockdown and you know the images I saw on the news. They were arresting people because they didn't want to get the vaccine, and you know, just the images, and they were like forcing them to relocate and. I was like, man, is this a movie? What is this? Where is this at? And then it was like Australia. And I was like, what? I thought Australia was like, you know, like wrestling alligators and there were free loving people. And I'm sure there are. But I'm like, man, this is crazy from coming from a, you know, a developed world, you know.
And not to get into too much detail on that, but it's actually getting worse. Last week, the one part of the country of Australia started to, you know, pass the legislation that would allow people to be forcefully taken from their home to be vaccinated. Like, that's crazy, man, right? This is Australia. It's that's where I was born and raised. But we, it's different to, you know, like say a country like America, where this country was actually founded on the premise of one nation under God. That's pretty special. Australia doesn't have that history. It's not so grounded in faith in a national way. So I feel like that's a big fundamental difference. And now we're seeing everyone's being tested as to, you know, how are we going to react to these strange times, you know?
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing you said, that the America does have that, I want to say the, not just a Christian, you know, context, but like a more precise Christian context, you would have, I would say, more Puritan-esque background here in the United States that allowed for, you know, ideas to come out in the forefront, you know, and a lot of countries didn't have that kind of context. Like for me, I love my people where I came from. You know, my dad's side of the family is from Mexico, and I have a love for Mexico, but the country's in ruins. Like, the beaches, the food, there's a lot of good people there, but like the culture in terms of death culture, drug culture, corruption is really bad, and it makes you think like, why, what happened, what made it this way? And you really do have to go back and look at the Constitution, but even further back, it's like they had no Puritan influence at all. So it's like, well, that's why freedom of speech didn't really make it into the forefront. Like, I don't care what John Locke says. Like, John Locke got all his stuff from the Puritans, and the Puritans from the Reformers. You know what I mean? And it's like, John Locke is a smart guy, but he got all his influence from the Puritans, and he just humanized it. But it's like Mexico didn't have that. So, yeah, I can imagine a lot of countries didn't have that. You know what I mean? And, you know, so I don't know. It's kind of like trying to force a recipe on somebody. And they don't even have a nice kitchen yet. So,
you know, every country is special and unique, and every people and culture is so special and unique. And that's something that I really found after moving here and just seeing the American way. You know, the American way has been communism and socialism internationally has been trying to force people to look down on the American way, including on faith.
Yeah.
And that's happened. I saw that in Australia. You know, I was taught to love Coca-Cola, love McDonald's, and love Hollywood actors, but to look at America as selfish. And I didn't get it. And then when I came here and I met people and I traveled around, I've traveled to more, you know, almost half the states in this country. And I'm like, hang on, these are really good people. I've been lied to. And you follow that back. This is where, you know, with communism, what we see going on in China, it's trying to break down our faith and break down, the foundations of that.
Yeah. There's an argument we're selfish, but we, you know, Hollywood did give, I could think of two Australian dudes who, you know, they have their lives made because of Hollywood, and Hollywood is evil and secular, but they did get their jobs from Hollywood, and Hollywood is in LA. It's not in Queensland, or, you know what I mean, like that. So I know two Australian dudes that got their millions of dollars from Hollywood, LA. So not Australia, from LA. So
there's a lot more as well, you know, there's females as well, and they've been out there. It's that thing. It's like, hang on, you got to look for truth, right? You got to look for the truth. And when you do, you start to, you question sometimes where you're being told something and think, hang on, where's that coming from? And then when I started to question this and say, that doesn't sound right. And then I realized this goes back to this sort of atheistic intention to break down faith, and that's coming back to socialist thinking, wanting to break down faith. And to do that, they need to break down the foundations of America, and that's where I see what they've been doing, and certainly all the work and research that I've done on China, I see that in a really big way, where they've been attacking this in a huge way. So it's really interesting to see how Australia's kind of, in a lot of ways, we've fallen for that, and that's you know, crazy. We've got to change that.
You know, so my that leads into my first question, is more about the who, like Whoville. Who are China's Walking Dead? Like when I found out about the book, I was like, whoa. I wonder if it was like a sci-fi Walking Dead type show. You know what I mean? That's what I thought, honestly. You know what I mean? Because I was like, I used to watch that show, and I was like, I wonder if this is like a spinoff. But it wasn't, and I looked into it, and I did research, and I was like, "Oh, I got to listen to the book." You know what I mean? I got to check it out, and you know, when I checked it out, and I was like, "Oh, wow!" But real quick, that was my thought when I first read it, and I was like, "Oh, Walking Dead from China," you know? But it wasn't. It's not that Walking Dead. It's a different Walking Dead. So who is the Walking Dead in China?
So when I was interviewing former Chinese Communist Party officials about, I wanted them to answer my question, how can the torture they do against innocent prisoners, prisoners of conscience, especially religious prisoners, spiritual prisoners, I was like, how can they be so cruel? You know, they've carried out, and you'll see some examples in my books and my movies, really, really cruel, being very cruel to people, especially trying to break them in their faith. And so I needed to understand why, how could they do that? Because I'm a journalist, I ask questions, and they told me very early on. One of the interviewees, he told me, and he was a high-ranking official in China, part of the public security ministry, and he was a police commissioner in the capital city there. And he told me, he said, we've become walking flesh, soulless bodies, soulless flesh. And I was getting this through a translation, and I had to stop. I don't like stopping interviews, but I had to stop and say, I don't like what I'm hearing, and I don't get it. So I asked the translator, you know, say it again. And so she told me again, and I said, could we use the word walking dead? Because, you know, like here, we don't, outside of China, we don't talk about soulless bodies, walking flesh. Like, what is that? It doesn't make sense, right? And I'm like, how do I make this stuff make sense to people? And I thought of The Walking Dead. I did think of the sci-fi. I did think of the show. You know, I'm like, we know what zombies are. And that's basically what he's telling me. He's calling himself and his fellow citizens zombies. And I'm like, I didn't like this. But, okay, at least I got to understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
And so she said, yeah, you can say Walking Dead. That's a fair translation. And then I was like, okay, So then every other person that I interviewed, including former judge, a criminal court case judge, civil judge, and also a man who ran not just one prison slave labor camp in China, but multiple, army colonel, propagandists, a bunch of people. And they, I'd just say, you know, have you heard of this term before, Walking Dead? Oh, yeah. We know that term. And I found out that this was, you know, more than 50 years ago, Chinese academics saw that once the Chinese Communist Party took over the nation and started to destroy faith, their traditions, their culture, they knew what would be left. What's left? Because they're replacing it with this atheistic political. It's all political. Everything becomes politicized and the party becomes above God. That's what happened in China. And the academics who left, they said at the time when this was all happening, they looked and they said, our culture, our country will become a land of the walking dead. And that's what they call themselves. And I hate to use that term, but that's what they told me.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with because the ideology dehumanizes the individual, you know what I mean? It not only brainwashes them and rules, you know, with an iron fist, you know what I mean? But I think it just, the ideology does a fantastic job, if I can even use that. It does a job where it dehumanizes the individual so much that it gets rid of the idea of a soul, of a spiritual realm. Because communism, like you said, is atheist. It's a zero God. The government is God, right? Yeah. So
exactly, yeah, that's,
you know, for those who haven't read the book, how many people did you interview? Was it like 30, 40? Was it like 100, 200? How many people did you interview?
So I've interviewed more than 100 survivors of communism, mostly from China, but also from some other regimes and countries as well. But specifically high-ranking officials, it was just over 30. And I was only able to get a few of them on camera, but I managed to get, you know, all of those to actually speak to me. But I got 12 of them to go on camera, 13 to go on camera for my movie. But yeah, I put all of their stories into that book.
Has anybody reached out to you from like the corporate secular media, like the mainstream media, that are like investigating, or do you see any parallel investigations kind of like yours coming from the secular media?
Not really. I find that there is a lot of interest in China now on all sides, you know, from all media and on all sides of politics, because we're starting to see that. And when I say China, I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party. I'm not talking about the people of China or the nation, because the nation itself is long history, you know, very rich history. And the people are human beings just like us. So. Yeah. But the party has completely monopolized the country, and so they that's what I'm talking about when I say China. So yes, the media is trying to look at China now, but they're not going deeper. And I have done a lot of interviews with people that are more interested now in seeing, because they're looking at the psychological aspect now of like what could happen here, because they're saying, oh, China is buying up all this American farmland. China is pushing fentanyl through our southern border via Mexico and killing more than 200 Americans a day. And seeing that China has infiltrated our school system. We see that communism has been trying to infiltrate the church. It's like all this stuff's going on, and we see these crazy woke agendas going on, and thinking, what's happening? But when you trace that back, it's like, okay, the media is not giving us the full picture, and I don't think they're looking at this psychologically in a way that we need to look at, like, they're really trying to attack our minds and our hearts and our souls. And that's what they've done in China. And China is the worst case of the best example of the worst that could happen, because they've had generations grow up where they have to call themselves, you know, children of the party. They see the party as their mother and father. It really, to them, has replaced God. And that's really scary to think that a political party could be put into that position. And that's because the people who had that really strong faith at the beginning were killed. They were tortured, killed, and brainwashed. and then these new generations were given a new history and told, taught lies about faith and religion. And this is where they've got to now after 70 years. And it's like, oh, that's scary. That's really scary. We got to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're, you know, they're the number one polluters. They're the number one financiers in Africa or something like that. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Hollywood is in bed with them. It's crazy. You know, it's very cult-like. It's a cult because, you know, for me, communism is a cult. So it's like North Korea. You know, they worship the leader in North Korea. The North Koreans do. They're forced to.
Yeah.
So that's it's a cult. That's all it is. It's a cult of the state. It's a cult. You know what I mean? Here's the question: do you think that the church can overthrow the CCP? Because the CCP can run out of numbers. Like, it feels like they're running out of members. You know what I mean? And I feel like they shot themselves in the foot by doing that one child policy. And then they're like, you know what? This doesn't work. We got to have more people. We got to have more kids or whatever. So they changed that. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, it benefited the church. For the church, the Christians are having kids, but all the atheist people are not. So I think that's interesting. So it feels like China could get flipped. You know what I mean? It feels like, if you think about what God is doing in China, and it's like all scary, you get the communistic, and it's like, well, yes, all these things can happen. But if God is sovereign and God is providential, he can flip that. He can make the Communist Party collapse because all the OGs die off. You know, that generation is bound to die off like no later than 2035, maybe less. And then all the newer CCP members are not diehards, at least not all of them. There's like, you know what I mean? So if that's correct, they will probably cave in to the cookies and cream capitalism, and then sooner or later their numbers might be less than the Christians. The Christians might be more numerous then. That's what I'm trying to say. Do you understand?
The numbers coming out of China is really hard for us to trust them because they lie. The CCP lies. That's part of its doctrine, and the way, you know, you called it a cult. That's really accurate. We should call it what it is. It's really accurate. And the numbers of people in that cult is, you know, they may say 100 million, and we got to question that. And you can take it, but take it with a grain of salt. Don't take any numbers that the CCP says as real. You know, for them, they say zero COVID cases, but then you see them locking people up every day and creating concentration camps. They completely lied about COVID and the pandemic. They just consistently lie. So, you know, every treaty that they do, you know, saying, oh, we're going to behave in a good way, and then they go and undermine it. Environmental issues, everything, they lie. So we cannot trust the numbers, basically. That's just period. You cannot trust numbers coming from the CCP.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is the numbers of the church are voluntary. These are people who really believe in the church, whereas the number of people in the CCP, most of them are doing it for gain, because if you do not become a CCP member, you cannot get that job, right? So CCP is not against capitalism. You know, we've been told to think that socialism is completely opposite to capitalism, but actually they're working together, and they've been doing that for a while. And that's why China has allowed people to become rich, buy those Lamborghinis, buy those Mercedes, eat that cookies and cream, and say, you know, you're good. You can have that, but don't forget the goal. You know, they have a 100-year plan. They just finished their first 100-year plan. They got their next 100-year plan going on. And that's where you realize, like, ooh, right, what's going on with the money thing here? I thought socialism was, you know, anti-capitalism. Not the case. What they do is they just, they need to control. The main thing is control. And if people want to get rich, no problem. Let them get rich, as long as the CCP is in control. So for people to get up those numbers, to get more members, they need to give more incentives and say, okay, if you want this job, you know, there's so many government controlled jobs, and most of the businesses are government controlled in China. All the schools, all the media are government controlled. So they're kind of all government jobs, military, policing, huge numbers of surveillance police. It's all government jobs. You want a high position, you got to be a party member. You want to go up in rank, you better be a party member. If you don't, you can lose your job. So, but you know what's pretty cool is that in the last few years, there's been this mass exodus from the Chinese Communist Party. Like the last number that I saw was 400 million people saying that they are renouncing the Communist Party. Now, that's more than the numbers in there, but you got to remember that, like in China, from kindergarten, even before they become have the choice to become CCP members, they are taught to sing. Even now, in kindergarten in China today, they're taught to sing songs to praise the Communist Party, and they have to, you know, wear the red scarves and be young pioneers, even if they're not a CCP member. So there's people now saying, I don't want to be part of that. They are seeing it as a cult and saying, that's evil. That's like, I don't want that. And so to me, that just shows that the numbers of Christians, of people of faith, of people that just, maybe they haven't found, you know, true faith yet, but they're wanting to, and they just know that the CCP is a lie based on, you know, it just is based on lies and deceit and murder. Just a heck of a lot of murder that they've done over the years, millions and millions of people killed. So there's a lot of hope there, a lot of people waking up.
Yeah, if you look at it from this perspective, first of all, God is in control. And, you know, this is not the first time God sees, you know, a terrible regime, a terrible dictator, a cult in power. There's been many cults, personalities in power throughout history. Many terrible rulers throughout history, terrible regimes throughout history, evil empires throughout history, and a lot of tragedies, right, in history. And you know, God is not unaware of these things. And, you know, this is not his first rodeo. I'm definitely sure, you know, God is in control, and he has, you know, China may have, in fact, a 100-year plan. But, you know, God has a 10-year plan. God has a 5-year plan. He has his own plan next year. You know what I mean? So you know, the Chinese people could be like, you know what? The CCP could be like, we're going to rule France one day. You know what I mean? We're going to walk through the Arc of Constantine or whatever. We march down there and put our Chinese flag on top of the, you know, the steeple thing in France. And it's like, well, you know, God could collapse the party like really quickly here because you guys don't have babies. So there you go. That's one way. You know, there's tons of Bibles being distributed, literature, English, you know, there's the fastest growing churches are out there. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people waking up to the truth, like you said, you know, all the diehards are dying off. So like within 5 years, they can all go away. And then all of a sudden, China could be the biggest, largest Christian nation in the whole world. So it's like, how about them apples? Like, you got to look at it from a elevated vertical perspective sometimes, because, you know, the media and everybody likes to say, oh, well, China and nuclear bombs and southern China Sea. It's like, well, yeah, you know, there was a thing called Babylon at one time, and they did evil things. You know what I mean? And the Assyrian Empire did evil things. And the Roman Empire, by the way, did evil things. But where are they now? You know what I mean? Where are they now?
So, exactly. Yeah. And I really feel that people have to really make a choice on this, certainly for the Chinese people, because then it's like they're starting to wake up and see that this is really wrong. What's happened to our history? What's happened to our culture? And you're right, the population in China, they're really in dire straits. It's bad. We're going to see in the next couple of years, it's going to be really, really serious. It's not just the one-child policy has just destroyed population, and now we're starting to see the effects, plus the real numbers from the COVID situation in China has been shocking. But they're not telling us the real numbers, but it's going to come out. You know, we're really seeing that. And so I think people are starting to wake up, and they're looking. They're looking for God. They're looking for, because they know that the Communist Party is not God. And that's the hope, is that people are seeing through that and saying, yeah, this is not right.
I think there's a psalm. David wrote a psalm says that only the fool believes that there is no God. And, you know, when there's a person, you know, living in a house without windows, and he's never been able to look out of the window, ever. No mountain view, no grass view, never seen a snowflake. You know, he's living in a house with no windows. That's atheism, right? And that's what the Chinese Party has created. It's a world without windows. At least they want you to believe that. And now the windows are being created. They're seeing the sunlight. They're seeing things, you know. God is showing them a few things here and there. And it's, you know, and people who don't have God in their lives, you know, because of government and because of family background or whatever, they tend to ask those questions. You know, they tend to ask those existential questions. You know, who made me? Why we're here? What is the purpose in life? Why do I suffer? Very heavy duty questions that every atheist deep down inside will ask. You know, there was an atheist communist guy named Richard Warmbrad, a Lutheran pastor in Eastern Romania, was tortured for Christ. He was an atheist before he became a Lutheran pastor during the Soviet takeover, you know, and he hated the Lord. He hated Christianity. He hated religion. And then all of a sudden he converted because he would start asking some real questions about, like, why am I suffering? There must be a purpose, you know, and plus you get tired of drinking the same old, you know, lukewarm water every day. I don't know about you. Like, imagine if you never drank a Coca-Cola in your life before. You're like, dude, you got to drink at least once. Come on, like.
You're missing out.
You know, and that's what he did. He's like, well, okay, let me open up my mind to God. Let me ask a question. And then boom, the rest is history. Now he's trying to reach out to the Soviets. You know what I mean? You know, and he wrote the book, Torture for Christ and stuff like that. With this perspective that God could overturn the CCP immediately, what should be, in your opinion, if the church will defeat this CCP? Because that's my perspective, that the church will overcome. Jesus said, I will build my church. And whatever Jesus says, I could take to the bank, right? At least that's my faith. That's what I believe. You know what I mean? Like, if Jesus says something, I'm going to believe it. And if he said, I will build my church, that means he's going to do it. So with that perspective that the church will defeat the Communist Party in China, why are so many young people in the United States or in the Western world, like in England, Germany, places like that, are so attracted to dog vomit of AKA communism? You know what I mean? In colleges, and you look at all these three-letter groups I don't want to mention, all over the United States this past 5 years, that are so attracted to, like, this ideology that is dog vomit. You know what I mean? And it's like that dog vomit is going to go down pretty soon in China. Just watch. Within my lifetime, just watch. Now, here in the West, where we're gravitated to that, a lot of the young people in colleges are liking that. They're hashtagging that. Like, what's the big deal?
And you know, it's funny because China is actually, the CCP is laughing at us. Because we're falling for that dog vomit, as you call it. They are laughing at us. You know, on TikTok, right? They own TikTok, and there's like how many millions of users here on TikTok. They're encouraging our American youth to be seeing all this crazy stuff and making them see it and making them believe it. But in China, they are censoring it from their own youth, because they're perverting them in another way. They already got control over their national, you know, their people there, they've got control in a certain way, but they're now trying to take control over here. And they know to do that, they have to break down the family and they have to break down religion. Whereas in China, they've already done that. They've already broken down those things through the Cultural Revolution and all these persecutions that they've just done, you know, killing millions and millions of people. The Chinese Communist Party has killed like more than 80 million of its own people in the last 50 plus years. So now they're trying a different strategy. They're using a different strategy here because it's a different country. We have a different foundation. So they are trying to break down the connections between the youth and history and the youth and the family. Because if our youth don't respect the past, then they will never try to hold people accountable for their crimes. You know, communists have killed so many people and no one's asking the questions and saying, huh, why hasn't anyone gone to jail for that? Why are we sending all of our money to China when it's run by murderers? And so they're not questioning that because they're rewriting history here. They're adding all these, you know, crazy words into the language to make us disrespect our parents, disrespect our elders, disrespect history, disrespect the Bible, disrespect our faith, and they target the youth because they know, right? Socialists work really hard on thinking they're so smart. They think they're greater than God. They're jealous of God. You know, they are so jealous of God that they are trying to remake humankind their own on earth, which they will never be able to do. That's why they will always fail, always. They are doomed to failure, but they're so desperate because they got no other plan. They have no plan B. Their ultimate goal is to control humanity. And for that, they can't remake the spirit. They cannot remake the soul. They cannot describe the miraculousness of our human brain, of our spirit, of the miracle of life. They cannot do that, but they're trying really hard. But they, you know, because they study this so well, they've been doing this for a long time, they know that once you're in college years, you're trying to find yourself. You want to make a name. You want to make a difference. You want to question authority. This is just what happens. In every culture, it's like you have that rite of passage of really becoming a man or getting ready to become a wife, becoming a woman, moving from being a girl to a woman. These kinds of really important time in someone's life. And when they take you away from your family and take you away from the church, then they fill you with these ideas. And this is what's happened in college for, you know, a few decades now. They've put the socialist professors in there who say, and it happened to me. It happened to me in Australia, but I knew something was wrong and I quit because I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what until later. And so I see it now very clearly. They put all these ideas in, like, you are special. You can make something. You are, especially intellectuals and creative people. It's like you're special. You can do something. You can. They give you all these feelings. They don't teach us that. If you've got talent and you've got creativity or you've got smarts, that came from God. That's not from, you know, and it came from the genes from your parents and your great grandparents and your history and your culture, you know, this rich person that you are. You know, they don't tell you that. No, they say you're special. Forget your parents, forget the church. No, you can do this. You can help us remake mankind. And then they hook you in with that. And then they start to build up this, you know, love for money. And this lie about equality that, you know, we should all be equal. We should all be getting equal wages, equal pay, things like that. It's like, oh, hang on, you know, that we're all made equal under God. But once we're born, you know, it's up to you to choose how you live your life. It's not up to a government. You know, you've got to live your life with God. And so they know to really hook us at that age. And it's really hard for some people to get out. Some people, once they get through college and they start to see the world again, they come back to faith. And for me, once I left and then I started to clear my head, I came back. But when you're in it, it's really hard. And a lot of people get sucked into it and they stay there. And they're the ones that are really pushing this dog vomit, as you put it, because it is crazy stuff. But it's changing our culture. And we really got to, I think we really have to push back on that and say, if, even for your own sake, you know, just for yourself, know what you stand for, know what you believe, and hold true to that. Don't compromise on that. I'm not saying you got to go out and fight in the streets or anything like that. I'm just saying for yourself, for your soul, you got to know what you believe, because everyone's being tested right now in our society right now, and it's like, where are you going to stand right now? Because it's time. I think it's really time you make a choice. You know, it's pretty important.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. You know, all good gifts come down from the Father of Lights. You know, God gives us, even non-Christians have gifts from God, you know, and that's called common grace in theology. It rains on the just and unjust. You know what I mean? So if you have two farmers living side by side, one's a Christian, one's an atheist, you know, God will send rain to the atheist farmer, and God will send rain to, you know, to the Christian farmers. So God does have common grace in the world towards humanity. We are created in his image, you know what I mean? So God did give us, common grace. Even to the most wicked person, God gives him comforts in life. You know, I'm sure the wickedest communist person in China sleeps on a nice pillow, you know what I mean? And that's because God is still good to that person and say, hey, you know, even though you're evil, you know, there's justice coming for you if you don't repent. But, you know, God is still good enough to give you a pillow. So, you know, so what is, you know, the best way for Christians to get ready for this, in my view, the collapse of communist China? Because I know communists, they can't stay faithful to that doctrine and then eat cookies and cream at the same time. You know, if you ever read the book Animal Farm, there's a point in time where the pigs couldn't hold it all together. It all came down. Like they, you know, it all, the wheels fell off. You know, sooner or later, they started changing the rules. And then they said, oh, well, you don't walk on 2 feet like a human does, right? But okay, it's okay to walk on 2 feet, only the pigs, right? And then, oh, you can't live in the house where the human used to live. Oh, well, only the pigs get to live in the house, you know. So they start changing the rules in the book. And then later on, you know, they started, you know, trying to become the farmer, you know what I mean, enact their own rules. And then it all came crashing down, you know what I mean? So I'm expecting this communist regime to come crashing down because one, debt, you know, the family. You know, there's a family movement going on. There's a Christian movement going on. So I feel like they're going to collapse very, very, very soon. And I'm expecting it. I'm very excited. It doesn't mean it doesn't have to look pretty. It can go down pretty bad. You know what I mean? But I do believe that God will build his church in China. So what is the best way you think for Christians to overthrow a communist government? Like, and I don't mean, you know, like a civil war, and I don't mean violence, and I don't mean revolution or nothing like that. It may come down to a certain faction, you know what I mean? The politics will beat his politics. But as a Christian person thinking, how can a Christian person in China be like, what's the best way to fight against the machine? What's the best way to overthrow this communist regime in peace, in love, and with the gospel? Well, what are some of your ideas about that?
I've actually just published an ebook just last week about this. It's called Nowhere Left to Run, 10 Steps to Survive Tyranny Today. And it's really about that. And it's what I found from interviewing not just these 100 survivors of communism, but other people that I've interviewed as a journalist throughout America and other places, and really learning from history. And so much research has been done on this in the past, but I was just wanted to put it together and put it in a very simple way and give a lot of references. You can read it very quickly. It's less than 100 pages. And like you said, Animal Farm, that's such a great example. And, you know, they kept all the animals kept compromising on the truth, and they kept allowing the rules to be adjusted, and they just kept compromising on what they believed to be true until they didn't know what to believe anymore. And that's where we have to get back to that baseline of truth. You have to know what you believe, and you have to know where it's coming from, and you have to hold on to it no matter what. And that's very peaceful, but it really comes from within you. And so holding on, and so I have 10 steps, very, specific steps in the book, and sort of the summary of it is that you've got to hold on because they are vulnerable. These, and I completely agree with you that it is ultimately going to fall. But so many people say to me, oh, you know, China's so strong. Communism is so strong. Socialism is so strong. It's just going to happen anyway. And I said, that's the lie. It's absolutely the lie. And people say to me, there's this, you know, the popular trend is all this crazy wokeism. And it seems to be that everyone's following that now. And I said, everyone? Isn't it just the media that's pushing it? Isn't it just a few voices on screens that you're watching? You know, is it everybody? Is it your neighbors? Is it really everybody? It's not. It's not. It's a lie to say that everybody is going down the drain hole with this, you know, dog vomit, as you said. It's like, no, we've got to get back to reality and know that majority of people are good people, really. And then we don't want this lies. We don't want a system based on lies because that's what it is. And tyranny is ultimately vulnerable. Communist Party, CCP, China, Chinese CCP is all vulnerable because they are based on lies. Once the truth comes out enough, then we need to get to that tipping point, but we have to hold on to truth, because if we give in to the truth and let go of the truth, it's a very fast and slippery slope where there is no more truth anymore and we end up in Animal Farm. But if we hold on to the truth and say, no, that's a lie. No, sorry, that's a lie. I'm just not going to do that. No, I believe in God. I'm not changing that. Sorry. You can do that, but not me. No, and not my family. That's all you got to do. Because they are banking on us giving in and saying, okay, we'll lie. Because they want us to play their game, which is lie, cheat, steal, kill. All of the, everything against the Ten Commandments. And that's what they want us to do. So all we have to do is not do those things and stop playing their game. Because once you get into their game, you have to play by their rules. And their rules are lie, cheat, steal, kill. And once you do that, it's a slippery slope down. You start to say, it's okay if we lie to those people. It's okay if we lie about those. It's okay if we kill some of those people. Oh, now we can kill some of those too. No, no, don't compromise on this. This is wrong. This is wrong. And that's all we got to say to yourself and then to people you know. You don't need to be a big influencer. You don't need to be anybody special. You just got to be you because you are special. As you, as a human being, God-made human being, you got to say, no, no, thank you. It's not what I want because, you know, I'm following God's way and that's it. That's what it comes down to. I think that's where we're being tested and it's that's going, you know, God is going to overthrow the Communist Party ultimately, but we got to position ourselves on the right side of history, I think.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing. Man, that's so deep, man. You know, when you study ethics and it's like, well, you know, the reason why we have a conscience in the West, largely, and the reason why we rise up and walk the line, like Johnny Cash would say, and it has a lot largely to do with the Christian work ethic and the Ten Commandments and where Western civilization was built upon, you know what I mean? And we have gone so far away from that. We're moving every day away from that, institutional-wise, you know what I mean? Academia, all that stuff. And they're moving away from that, you know what I mean? And they're living in a world of 10,000 disqualifications, and that's called relativism and stuff like that. And you know, for those philosophical people out there listening, you can even trace this back to Plato, where he was like, state planning is where it's at, and no child will know his parent, and no parent will know his child because the state, blah blah blah. So like, I understand. So you know, it sounds like the church has its work cut out for it. So, you know what I mean? Because when this thing's collapsed, it's like all the institutions are kind of, it's literally tied to the CCP. You know what I mean? You got the military industrial complex over there. You got the science and the biology people out there. You got the trade deals. All the trade deals from the United States are tied to the CCP. You have the NBA. You have so many things connected to this organism. That's evil, and that's going to go down. So when that goes down, that's going to affect the global economy. That's going to affect everybody's jobs. So that means everything's going to fall, and all you have left are human beings, like people, real people. That's it. So that means who's going to like come in and fill in the gap? You know, like who's going to go in there and be like, wow, you know, everything got lost. That system was evil. Here's a new system. Here's a new world. Here's a new infrastructure. Here's a new way of thinking and handling culture and standing up for what's right. You know what I mean? You know, and I feel that institution will have to be the church. The church should be the one, the last one standing. So if the world ended tomorrow in the sense of institutions, like if all the institutions just went away because they went into debt and they went bankrupt, and all the banks closed their doors tomorrow and said, sorry, all the money's useless. You want free cash, you can take it. It's worth nothing. Everything's gone. You know what I mean? Tesla, everything. Everything's gone. This whole world we built is gone. But the people are still left. You know what I mean? So imagine that. Imagine an economic catastrophe. What institution should be the last one standing? I think historically it should be the church. So like, that means we have a lot of work. We got a lot of work going on. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of people that needs the truth. A lot of people needs to help, right? Needs help in that situation, I would say. So how should the church prepare to help the masses? The Chinese church, right? How can the American church prepare to go ahead and help the Chinese church in that event of that future collapse of the CCP?
I think that a really important factor is to now, before that collapse happens, that the church needs to make sure that they have God above the party. Because in China, a lot of church, there's a lot of underground house Christians. I've interviewed a number of them, and they put God above the party. And for that reason, many of them are not able to go to their churches, have had to be underground, and they still are. Institutions in China, to be an institution in China, is you have to put the party above God. And that, to me, puts them in a dangerous situation, because when it collapses, where are you going to be? On which side of history? Because who's going to take control? I mean, ultimately, God's going to take control, right? And then people will follow the right way, and then the country will rebuild. Like, China's had so many dynasties, dynasty after dynasty, and things end, and then a new one comes. So there will be an end to this evil regime, but that the foundation, I agree with you. I think it has to come under God, but that's those who compromise and put the party above God. I don't think that's a good thing. I think they need to make sure that God is above the party. And that's really hard to do in China. And they need our support to encourage them to have that true faith and not be compromised. Because you said that evil, you called the CCP an evil entity, and it's right, because in my book I talk about it being a parasite, where it has latched onto every single entity in the country, and it actually forces a certain person from a Communist Party member into every level of every organization. Even in hospitals, you have a party member there to monitor security-wise, like monitor every department in a hospital. So, you know, you've got your heart surgery, you've got your, your skin care, you got all that. There'll be a party member in each one. And then there's one at the top of the hospital, then at the top of the top. And all of them are regulating and watching over other people. They're doing the same in the church. And that's where, from here, we should be encouraging the church there to get clear-headed on who is in control of the church, really making sure God's put in the right position. Because I feel like that's part of everyone's being tested in their faith. And if you compromise and put the party above God, I just think it's a dangerous place to be. And in China, it's very hard to maintain faith publicly like that. But I think that's a time will come where that will be questioned. Who was the ultimate God at this dangerous time? Who did you put as the ultimate God? And was it the party, or was it really God? And so I feel like that's what the church needs to encourage and help people in China see, that the party is not God, because that's what the institutions have done in China. They've said, okay, you can worship at this church as long as you recognize that the party is above God. That's what they're saying. And that's where I feel like we shouldn't compromise on that, because when it does collapse, it'll be shown that we've compromised there. So I feel like that is the most important thing, is to remind people just to put God in the right position right now.
Yeah, that's amazing, because and the people in the atheists, they like to dehumanize, like I said, and if you reduce the human to nothing but a bag of water, a bag of mostly water, like this one episode of Star Trek said, back in the 60s, that's what one of the episodes in Star Trek said, is that we're what is a human? Like, oh, it's nothing but a bag of mostly water, and it's like, what? that's a horrible worldview. Like, if that's the worldview, then yeah, you're right. Like, what's the big deal if we kill off this population right here? Because it doesn't matter, right? They're all bags of water. We're just watering the earth at that point. So it's like, well, yeah, but that's evil. It's like there's a standard. You know what I mean? There's and the only reason why in the Western world holds to that conflict in their consciousness, the reason why it bugs them, even secularists, is because of the Christian worldview that has dominated and built the West. Because before Christianity went to the West, it was nothing but like what? Pagan tribes cannibalizing and doing all kinds of evil all the time until the gospel came and ended all that. And then not perfectly, but you know, the gospel came and, you know, and introduced, hey, that's wrong. You shouldn't, you know, beat up your wife. You know, hey, that's wrong. You shouldn't eat your neighbor. Hey, that's wrong. You should get dressed and go to church. you know, and over time people stopped doing those practices, became less and less and less. You know what I mean? So, you know, to close up, what are your closing thoughts on it? You know, people listening, what are your closing thoughts about The Walking Dead in China, you know, Communist Party, this whole conversation, this whole idea before we close up?
Well, what we see in China is the worst case scenario of what could happen to us here. And when you look around your world today here in the US or even, you know, Australia or other countries here in the Western world, look around and you start seeing you're seeing crazy things. You're seeing the mainstream media, legacy media has been bought out by China, and they're not reporting often true news about China. They're reporting agendas that don't make sense to us, things that are really anti-Christian values, anti-American values. Don't believe that that's what everybody thinks. That's really, really important, because just because it's on the TV screen, it doesn't mean that it's really the truth. And that's, it's sad to say, but it's so important that we remember that, because there is collusion between the media and these socialist organizations, including China, including global governments and things that are really trying to break down the family and faith. And so when you see weird things going on around you and you see this, you know, different, you know, I went all the wokeism and stuff going on, and people get scared, they get afraid, and they feel like, oh, it's everywhere. It's like, hang on, you really got to take a step back, calm down, and say, no, everything, really, they want us to be angry, they want us to be scared, they want us to feel hatred. All of those things are not right. We know they're not our values. Our values are to love and be kind and to forgive and to, but to really not give up on our faith. So we're all being tested now, and look out what's going on in China, because that will help us deal with what is going on right around us now, because it's exactly the same thing, just in a different form, and it can help us understand all these things that look crazy and chaotic around us. When you know where it's coming from, then you realize, oh, this is a strategy being intentionally used to try and destroy my family and my faith. And that's when you recognize that, it's not so chaotic anymore. It doesn't seem so complicated. And you can just say, no, thank you. And you can really make a difference in your family, in your church, in your community, in your school, and say no. And you can do it calmly, peacefully, but real strength, and say no. And yeah, check out my, if you go to my website, kayrubacek.com, that's kayrubacek.com, you can download my ebook there. I've got it for free for now. Send me an email and you'll see those 10 steps to survive tyranny today, which is kind of what I was talking about. We really just got to say, no, this is what I believe in, and we're not going to let you do it. And stop falling for those lies. That's important.
Yeah, there's a lot of application there. You know what I mean? There's nowhere else to go. You're right. Like, there's no second Mayflower. There's no, like, new world undiscovered. You can't just get on a boat and sail and be like, I'm just going to build a build a whole new city here. You can't do that anymore. You know what I mean? Those days are gone. You know what I mean? We had one chance, and, you know, and this is the best we got right now. In terms of new land, new world, there's nothing like that. So you're right. And I think Abraham Lincoln said something to the effect where, good people, it's bad when good people, you know, something like that, where I forgot how the quote goes, where evil people, when evil people do something and good people don't say nothing about it, that's evil or something like that. Probably butchered it.
but it's true, because like my family escaped communism from three countries, three times, three generations. I've got two kids. There is nowhere left for us to go to. This is it. There is nowhere left to run. right? So it's like we are come down to these last you know, a very historic moment in time in history. That's where we're at now. I think we've got to value that and be on the right side of history, and it'll be okay, but we're being tested. So it's like there is nowhere left to run. It's time to face it. It's time to get your head out of the sand, get your head out of TikTok, get back to basics, get back to your faith and your family, and that's how you're going to have the true freedom and be able to get to the other side. So I think that's important.
Amen, amen. The grass is not greener over there. The grass is greener where you water it, man.
That's it.
And, blessed is the man who don't sit in the seat of scoffers, or don't stand in the sinner's way, right? Go ahead and read Psalms 1. You'll get it. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, grace and peace.
Thank you for listening to Bible Theory. Don't forget to share this with your homies. Support Bible Theory on Patreon. Follow me on Twitter at The Chicano Knox. Like and subscribe to Bible Theory on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, and more. Gracias por escuchar Bible Theory. No olvides a compartir esto con tus homies. Apoya Bible Theory and Patreon. Sígame en Twitter and The Chicano Knox. Dame un like y suscríbete a Bible Theory and Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio y más.